dreams in America, to cross the ocean white and blue. They carry the cross, not caring the loss, so other souls could hear the truth. But the lights grow dim in America, and sin will be our nation's doom. We need more preaching in America, for Jesus is coming soon. Who will go to America, land of the red, white, and blue? Who will go to America? Brother, why not you? Our Savior sends his children forth to go to every land, to the islands of the outermost, to find forgotten man. But the most forgotten mission field is within our country's shores. So who will go to America? She needs Jesus Christ the Lord. Who will go to America? America, tell me, brother, why not you? America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Who will go to America? Tell me, brother, why not you? Tell me, brother, why not you?
Thank you, Patricia. Let's stand together this morning. Great. I think each and every year our Christian school goes to a fine arts competition. There's many, I would say at least over 1,000 there from other schools. And I think Patricia, the last 2 years, has got first place in singing in her category. And so that was great. Thank you for that. And that's not easy at her age. It's hard for me. I get scared when I look at you, and I'm a little older than her. I hope you don't get scared when you look at me. But she does a great job. Psalm chapter number 23, please, this morning. Psalm chapter number 23. We'll read the whole chapter. It's only 6 verses, okay? Very familiar. I realize most of the time when these verses are being read, there's a body down here. And these verses aren't just for funerals. The fact of the matter is, it references something, but it's not even referencing actual dying. It's actually going through a tough time. These verses, I believe, are more about living. Psalm chapter 23, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And let's pray. Father, we thank you again for loving us. We thank you for this morning, the opportunity we have to be here. And I pray you'd bless our time together and help us, Father, to get something from your word that will encourage us, strengthen us, and maybe even challenge us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we're into the summer, and I like during the summer to do different series, kind of mix it up. And so on Sundays mornings, we're doing something. By the way, this July is also our I Love My Church month, and we'll talk a little about stewardship as we get to the end of the month. But we're in a Sunday morning series we're calling The Simple Life. We're looking at timeless truths in familiar passages. So as we summer, we go through these verses. These are not verses that will be obscure to you. These are not verses you will not have heard of. They're actually verses that are fairly familiar to us. And I think sometimes because a verse is familiar to us, if we're not careful, we don't get the truth that it has for us. And so I want us to look at some of these. And that's what the verses that we look at this morning. By way of introduction, I want us to understand that all of us, in one way or another, follow somebody. Okay? You say, well, what do we mean by that? Well, could be a friend. By the way, any of you ever follow a friend who's the wrong kind of friend to follow? I had a friend that, I told my Sunday school class, I had a friend that absolutely almost ruined my life. His name was Joe Esposito. And early on, it was his brother, Johnny. And so what happened is I started hanging around with, when I call him Joe, that's before we were saved. He's Pastor Esposito. I get that. But when he moved into my apartment, he was not Pastor Esposito. He was Joe. Okay. In fact, we called him Joey. And his mom started calling me Stevie. Okay. It's like, that's, so I like brother and pastor better. So, so I started hanging around with Pastor Esposito. He was not pastor. I got busted one time for stealing. It's because he told me to. And he said, you're not going to get caught. He lied. So he was a friend I followed, and I got in trouble. And he says, well, the reason he got in trouble is because he started following his brother, Johnny, which how many of you would agree with that? Yeah, I'm all in on that one. But Johnny says the reason he got corrupted was because of my older brother, Jack. So ultimately, my brother Jack ruined me, but he ruined me through two others. Now, I will say this. When we started all getting saved, brother Johnny, I think Johnny got saved first, and then Pastor Esposito got saved because of that, or had been saved, but his life got turned around because his brother encouraged him. And then I got saved because of Pastor Esposito's influence. And then actually my brother got saved later on at Gethsemane, and he actually influenced me to get right with God. So towards the end of our life, towards the end of things, we all kind of got it together. But early on, I was following the wrong crowd. I started doing all kinds of goofy stuff because the Esposito guys were getting me involved with these things. Maybe it's somebody you follow as a mentor. Okay? Maybe it's someone you read. And I like to read and study, and I keep up, and I have to talk a lot, and I try to stay fresh. And so I'll read things, and I'll read some leadership stuff. I'm very careful about that because some of the guys are just flat out very, very they're just very secular, so I try to be careful with that. Maybe it's by association, but all of us have somebody that we follow. When I say follow, I mean you allow them to gain influence in your life, and you allow them to help you determine direction in your life. That's who you follow. Influence is that access that we give to somebody that helps determine our values and our views in life. By the way, we must be very, very careful. And this is not political 101, but our media is very biased. And I'm not to get into that, but if all your views and values come from what you're hearing on mainstream media, and I'm not saying you can hear goofy stuff on the other side also, we need to be able to be biblically literate and understand when something is wrong. I'll be honest with you, I don't listen to the news that often. And I've gotten to the point, I used to listen to the 10 minutes it takes me to drive to work, or 15 minutes, I listen to some of the sports stations. I've got to where I can't even listen to that stuff anymore. I'm listening to the weather, and it's like 15 minutes of weather. I know, I look outside the car, I know what it's like already. But we got to be very careful who's influencing us. because it determines our values and our views on life. And by direction, I mean the path that you take in life, because that is determined by the influence you allow others to have. Where you end up in life will be determined on how you view life and what you value in life. Ultimately, that's where you're going to be. If you're at a certain place in your life, it's because of the values you hold or the views in life that you have. And so we've allowed people to do that. If that is true, then it's very important that we follow the right person. We follow the right truth because of the effect that it has on you and your future. Some people we give limited access to. Some people we give earned access to. And this can be for good or for bad. But we need to be careful who we are allowing to lead us in life and direction. And of course, we understand that ultimately the person that should lead and guide us in life is the Lord. We don't need to filter his access in our life. We don't need to filter what he's trying to do in our life. We need to just open it up and say, whatever you want, Lord. Because who we follow is going to determine where we get to. So my question for you this morning, and we'll share a few thoughts, who are you following? Who's determining who you are? Who's determining what you believe? Who's determining where you will end up? One of the reasons we're talking about the Ten Commandments, because I believe if God made a big deal out of those particular ten, they're the foundation of society. They're the foundation of life, and they're not just some archaic list. And so I want us to have the right truth in our life. Now, as we get to the verses that we read, they're very well known. Again, as I mentioned, we associate them with a funeral. As David wrote, as he was walking through the valley of shadow of death, he got through it. Just saying, God got us through tough times. And by the way, in a funeral, that's encouragement to us as we are walking through tough times. And that's what David's testimony is. But the psalm primarily is about God's leading in the lives of his people. He says, he leadeth me. That's mentioned twice. And as we look at the verses, the picture of his leading in our life is very clearly seen. God is trying to lead us. This psalm is not about how to die. This psalm is not about how to get through when someone dies. This psalm is about how to get through life because we are alive. And the key thought conveyed here is, if that's going to happen, then you have to let God lead us in our lives. He has to be the one we follow. Now, the picture here is of God is of a shepherd. That's good because in the Bible, what are we pictured as? Sheep. You say, oh, sheep, they're cute little fuzzy animals. That must be a compliment. No, it's not a compliment. As we look at God the shepherd, by the way, when David talked about God as a shepherd, he knew because David was a shepherd. So he understood that picture of God's leading. The shepherd is the leader. The shepherd leads based on his knowledge of the sheep. He cares for them and is in his daily life. Jesus Christ gave himself that title, by the way. In John chapter 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. When we hear about David, and he said that as he was tending to the flock, there came a lion and a bear. David didn't just say, let me chalk that up to a tax write-off. That's a negative. He went after him. Now, I'll be honest with you, Robert. If a lion came and took one of mine, I'd take the tax credit. Okay, unless I had a shotgun, amen? I'm not going to chase a lion with a stick. That's probably why David took Goliath down, though. But so that's, and Jesus said, listen, I'm the ultimate good shepherd. I gave my life for the sheep. A few verses later in John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. So Jesus and God are pictured as a shepherd. We're pictured as the sheep. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus says this, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as a sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. It's funny. As Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Because he said, they're just like sheep. There's no one to lead them. Why is it not very complimentary to be pictured as sheep? They're defenseless. It's almost like, you ever see prairie dogs? I think prairie dogs' only goal in life is to be food. That's about it. Sheep, they were defenseless. They get lost easy. They're not the smartest animals in the world. They needed constant care, and they must be led. That's who we are. The question isn't, does God want to lead us? He does. He cares for us. The question is this, will we follow? Will we be able to recognize what is going on in our life, who is determining our direction in life, and be able to say, you know what, if it's not the Lord, I need God to direct my life. Very important. So as we look through the verses, and we're going to briefly look through them this morning, we're going to ask some questions that'll help us to be able to determine, who am I following? Am I following God? Am I allowing Him to lead me? Look at verse 1 and ask yourself this question as we look at verse 1. Do I experience His provision? Look at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. What's the next four words? I shall not want. He says, the Lord, David was saying by way of testimony, the Lord is my shepherd. Because of that, I don't want anything. That doesn't mean I don't want it because I don't want it. That word want means lack. It means I'm not lacking anything. I have everything I need. That's what the shepherd did. The shepherd made sure the sheep were taken care of. He made sure they had everything they needed. If they needed water, water. Feed, he fed them. That's what he did. The Lord is the right shepherd in our life. And so if he is and we are following him, we will have all the things that we, keyword, need. Need. Well, what about, I don't have all the money I want. Get in line. And I wish you had all the money you wanted and then some, because I'm sure you'd give it to help us finish the building tomorrow. Right? But I'll tell you this, if you're following God and you're following his principles and you're trying to live right, and you have what you need. Because when we follow God, we don't lack. Two things that we definitely need in our life and that people look for, we look for security, don't we? By the way, the sheep would be secure in knowing that the shepherd's there. We want security. We want to make sure everything's taken care of and everything is out in the future. That's how we are. But listen, if we're following God and we know we're following him, we know that will be taken care of. Security only comes from God. Whenever we place our security in anything else, that's who we're following, and that's a false god, because security can truly only come from God. And we want significance in our lives. Many years ago, the USA Today had a poll. They asked people, "What if you could ask God a question, what would that question be?" And there were several questions, but by far and away, the number one question people would ask God is this: what is my purpose in life? Why am I here? What is life all about? Can I just tell you something? When we follow the Lord, we don't lack purpose. God provides for us. We listen to these people that tell us, well, you know, follow your dream, follow success, follow your passion. Significance isn't found in that. Significance is following God's path for your life. It's following God's dreams for your life. And if you follow any other person, and by the way, sometimes we follow our own thoughts. That could be worse, right? I'm not following anybody. I'm my own man. That's bad. You're hanging with the wrong person. Okay, we need influence from God, because we have all kinds of weird things that go on sometimes. And sometimes what we think is a great idea is utter nonsense, and we don't realize that until we've made the mistake. But when we follow God, those thoughts come to our mind and Scripture says, nope, that's not right. We say, you're right, Lord, let's move on. But is God providing all that you really do? When you look at your life, say, man, I have what I need. Not just externally, but I'm talking more about internally. Do I have what I need? Are you experiencing his provision? Secondly, look at verse 2. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Do I experience peace? You see, sheep are spooked and scared very easily. So he didn't lead them down a rough path. He brought them into the green pastures. You know, the one thing I don't like about the drought is dead grass everywhere. I'm not getting on you. If you like that kind of desert look in your front yard, go for it. I don't like desert. I like grass. Not the kind of grass you're thinking too, by the way. Hydroponics, we're not talking about that. That was many years ago, and Robert told me all about it. No, we're not talking. You know, I like the grass, and I like it to be a little bit green there. I just one thing when we go up to the Northwest to see my in-laws, Washington's very green. The Emerald City, I think Seattle's the Emerald City. Green. Because it's like, when you think of the green and growing, it's healthy. It's peaceful. Tranquil. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The sheep would have a hard time if they had to cross and the water was rough. They're fearful. They would have a hard time drinking if the water, if fearful. I was listening to a pastor one time and he was preaching and he said he when he was a kid, he grew up on a farm and they had sheep. And he was talking about how dumb they were and he was talking about how spooked they are. So he said as a young teenager, he decided they had this one sheep that was kind of schizophrenic and he was always moving around and he said, this one's really spooky. So he was hiding around the barn one day and he saw this one come. He goes, I'm going to scare him. And so the sheep came around the corner, you know, whatever the noise they make. And he's like, bah! He said the sheep fell over. He said he died. He literally scared that. He said, now, talk about being scared to death. I had to go tell my dad. He goes, that scared me to death. But he's like, I killed that one. They're fearful. But when we follow the Lord, although situations in life may come, no matter what happens, we can have peace. Do you have peace in your life? Is there always drama going on? The peace you experience depends on the place you're at. They had peace because they were in the green pastures. They were traveling beside the still waters. You know, you can have peace in the, you know, you think about your home. Do you have a peaceful home? Now, that doesn't mean that it's always quiet. Our home, the last word I would use to describe it, Brother Pineda, and you live with us for a while, it is peaceful. I would not describe it as peaceful. Now, we have, for the most part, we have peace. Right? But I mean, there's always people there. There's seven of us that live there. We have a couple of outlaws that come with their spouses, and we have grandkids, and we kind of have people. There's always people over, and we don't mind that. That doesn't mean everything's always quiet, but there's a peace there. There's a difference. Maybe the reason you don't have peace in your life is because you're not following God, and when you don't follow God, you put yourself in unpeaceful situations. Maybe you're living in direct violation to some of God's principles. You know what the Bible says? Twice in Isaiah it says this, there is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. Whenever we're not following God's path, we are not going to have peace. Do you have peace today? See, I wouldn't say that I have peace. Then maybe we're not following the Lord. Look at verse 3. Do I experience his path? Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, God's leading is specific. The path that God has for us, and it may be a little different when it comes to what he has you do in life, but there is a path of righteous living he has for all of us. And by the way, it's not for our sake, it's for his sake. Right? It's not for his. I got to show this video. Brother Rawl sent me a video. This guy, and it's a comedy skit, and he's preaching, and he gets up, and he loses it, and he starts yelling at the church. He starts calling them out. He goes, you know, you come to my office, and you're not listening to God. And one thing he says is, you're making me look bad to God. Now, I'm not like that. But how are we making God look? See, when we follow his path, it's a path of righteousness, and it's for his sake. You say, well, what about me? What about my purpose in life? You'll get that if you follow God and you're willing to honor His name. But we have to follow His path. See, the problem is in our country, we want to follow the American dream. The American dream is I can accomplish and do whatever I want. Whatever my dream is, I can fulfill it. There's a guy named Seth Godin. He's a leadership guy. Some of the people I'll read sometimes, they reference his books. I've never read his book. He's very secular, Brother Pineda. But in one of his books, he gave a story about a lady named Hannah Smith. And she got a job in the Supreme Court. It was Supreme Court law clerk, 37 of them. That's all there is. And she graduated from law school, and she got one of these 37 positions. And in his book, he said, there's 42,000 law school graduates that year. And every single one of them could have got this position. There's only 37 of them. That's not true. That's what we buy the lie sometimes. I can be whatever I want if I just have a dream and a passion. Can I just tell you something? What if my dream and passion was to be an NBA player? I could have actually done it. Come on. I don't have NBA skills, people. But that's my dream. Follow my dream and follow my passion to the unemployment line. Ain't happening. See, you better attach your dream and you better attach your passion to what God has for you. See, God knows exactly how you're wired. And God knows exactly what's best for you. And if you follow His path, it'll be a righteous path, but it'll also get you to where you need to be. I'm not saying, you know, I can't take this job. I'm not sure God. Look, you don't have a job, take it. And I'm not saying if God's told you to do something, go for it. But sometimes we try to push a square peg into a round hole, you know. I think God wants me to open a casino. You know what? No, He doesn't. But I'll tithe. Yes, He does. Let's follow God's path. See, whenever we follow our own path, maybe we get lost. A couple years ago, we were going to an obscure church in the middle of cornfields in Washington. And I set my GPS. And so I took this road, and it was up against this mountain. And the GPS was very specific. And about 2 miles in, the road stopped. There was no road. Now the GPS said, keep going forward. It was rocks and boulders. I'm like, that was a bad idea. So I had to turn around and go all the way back to the main highway, and we finally got there. Well, I come to find out, I was driving my mother-in-law through that area later, and she said, oh, yeah. She goes, about a year ago, there was a heavy rain, and part of the mountain fell, and it took out that part of the road. Well, the GPS didn't know that. The GPS said, what are you stopping for? Keep going. Got a little belligerent there for a minute. Listen, we try to, this is my path. Is it God's path? Whose path are you following? Let's make sure. See, if you look at John 10:10, we were talking about the verses about the shepherd. Jesus referenced it this way. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Do you know we have a spiritual enemy? And he uses certain things to get us on a path. Guess that's where his path leads, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's not the good path. But Jesus said, I'm not like that. I have come that you might have life. And you might have it more abundantly. Sometimes we think, well, if I serve God, I won't get the things that I want. It's restrictive. No, it isn't. It's freeing. We get life. And we don't even get life. We get life more abundantly. See, the non-righteous path, it may make you feel cool for a while. It may feel like it's the end thing to do. But it doesn't lead to where God wants you to go. Are you experiencing His path? Look at verse 4. He says, this is the funeral verse, right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Are you experiencing God's protection in your life? See, this verse marks a transition in the chapter. The first verse is, he uses, when he's talking about the shepherd, he. He restores my soul. He's referencing who he is. Now he switches pronouns to a more personal thou. Now he's not talking about the Lord. He's talking to the Lord. Now it's a little more on a personal level. Why? Because if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you need him right there with you. Protection. The most protected and the best life you can have is the one where you follow God. There are so many harmful things in this world, spiritually speaking. I think our belief system can be very, very harmful. Because if what we believe leads to how we act, then what we're hearing changes what we are think, which is going to change how we act. And I have no idea what I just said. But I think you got it. So how we act is going to start off with what we're being influenced by. And it's harmful. There's a lot of harmful things. Okay? You tell your child, don't eat soap. Well, they don't have a struggle with that one. But our kids try, you've had them, they'll put weird things in their mouth. It's like, you don't put that in your mouth. Kids put their feet in their mouth. You're going to get athlete's mouth. You know where that foot's been? You got to be kidding me. They'll eat anything. It's on the floor. Charlie, when she was little, we used to call her a catfish. Because if it was on the floor, she'd eat it. She thought that was just grocery shopping. Let me look under the table and see who dropped something. Okay? All kinds of weird. When Emily was a little girl, you know, you always teach them, go throw this away. When she was a little girl, it's like, go throw this away. She would throw it away, and she'd come back with something she took out of the trash. It's like, it was a trade-off. I'm like, no, it all stays there. They have no idea what's going on. They need protection. Spiritually speaking, we need protection. There's a lot of harmful things out there. There's a lot of harmful ideas. There's a lot of harmful actions. Listen, when we follow the Lord, we can get through those things. Maybe it's just tough times that come our way. By the way, he gives us comfort in those times. Thy rod and thy staff, it comforteth me. Yeah, you know, your friends, and we ought to. When someone goes through a tough time, they need their Christian brothers and sisters to step right up and help them. But I'll tell you what, who comforts you when you're at home at night and your brothers and sisters are home? God can comfort us. You say, well, I don't experience that. Maybe we're following the wrong person. Verse number 5. Are we experiencing his prosperity? He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The table he's talking there is not, you don't think of it as a physical table. Think of it as a table like a spread to eat, to be taken care of, to be nourished. He says, man, right in the middle of my enemies, you're going to throw a spread. You're going to prepare a table for me. The oil he's talking about is the sheep would come in. If they were injured, they would put oil on the cuts to heal it. I've also heard that they would also, on some parts of their body, they would put it to keep the flies away. But it's all about protection. It's all about taking care of them. It's all about making them prosperous. He goes, my cup runneth over. Hey, let me ask you this. If you think about your life, you're like, do you ever get up and say, man, my life is so blessed. It's like my cup is just overflowing. It's like saying, how much coffee is enough? There's never enough. Get a bigger cup. Man, brother, you bought me a cup that was like a gallon, right? Yeah, he gave me this coffee cup. By the way, the saying wasn't very nice, but he got me a coffee cup one time. It holds like a gallon of coffee. I drank out of it once, Raul. I just thought, I'm going to drink out of it because, it was so big when I drank, my whole face was in it. Listen, if I would have filled that thing up and drank it, I like cream in it, it would have taken like a quart of cream to get it to color I like. And I'd have been up for 3 days, okay, having a really good time. But he said, listen, he goes, my cup's running over. I'm so taken care of. I'm prosperous in life. When I say prosperous, don't just think about money. But everything in life, the blessings are there. He's taking care of me. I have all I need. He's trying to make sure that I'm healthy and all those things, and I'm spiritually well. It's prosperity. Think about that. It takes us back to Psalm 1. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, when we follow God, we're going to do the things he wants us to do, and we're going to be able to do it. We'll prosper in those areas. Are you experiencing that? You say, man, all the things you're talking about, my life isn't there. Let me just tell you this, you can get there. Yep. I'm not here today telling you these things so you say, I failed the test. I have to retake the class. No, I'm trying to get our eyes open. Maybe if we're not getting the things we're talking about here in these verses, maybe we're following the wrong person. If we change what we're following or who we're following, then we'll change the results.
Yep. Amen.
See? What does a team do when they don't get the results they want? Fire the coach. Something, get different. Something's got to change. We can't keep going on and expect things to change. There has to be some changes made. And that's what we're trying to get you to look at today. The last thing is this. Look at verse 6. I like this. I like all of it, but I like this. Do I experience his presence? Now, we're talking about following the Lord, but look what it says here. Surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me. Wait a minute. I thought we were talking about following the Lord. It's amazing when you follow the Lord, good things follow you. Can you imagine? It's like, it's following me. The good stuff keeps, wherever I go. I'm not talking about prosperity, doctor. You know what I'm talking about. It's like, it just seems wherever I go, I feel good. I feel blessed. Yeah, things aren't always what I want them to be. And yes, I have to go through problems. But even when I go through problems, it's like goodness and mercy are right there. Wherever I go, they're there because they're following you. As we follow God, the things that he wants us to have follow us. Why? Because we're with the Lord. In his presence is fullness of joy. Do you have that? Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, have you ever thought the other way? It just seems like, man, no matter what I do, things aren't going well. Just seems like trouble follows me. Remember Pigpen and Peanuts? He always had that dirt cloud that was all over. He's just like, it's like he lived in that thing. No matter where he went, there it was. Some people are like that with trouble. You say, man, I don't get it. I have this problem in my life, and when I get that problem fixed, it seems like another problem takes its place. I'm going to tell you why. You haven't dealt with the root issue. It's the problem isn't the problem. It's the path that you're following. It's the person you're following. That's the problem. And if you're following the wrong problem, wrong person, or you're following yourself, the problems are going to be there. The problems will be different, but they're a result of what you're doing. Change who you're following. Change who you're following. Don't let some of you, you're new here and you look around and say, that person looks happy. Listen, I can tell you what they were like 5 years ago. For $25, I will. I'll tell you exactly what they were like. Come, Robert, I can write a book. So you got, they look, boy, these people in the church, they look so clean. They ain't all clean. They're not. But you know what happened? They changed who they were following, Pastor Pichardo. They just changed it. And guess what? Now it seems the good stuff follows them because they're following God and his presence is in their life. Isn't that what you want? Who are you following this morning? You looked at these questions. And be honest with yourself. Did you look at some of them and say, you know, I don't have that? Now, sometimes we're following the Lord, but maybe in certain areas we stray. We're trying to follow God, and a problem comes our way, and for a second, we quit thinking about the Lord, and we start thinking about the problem. Doesn't mean we quit following God. We just got our eyes off him for a minute. Remember Peter? Can I walk on the water? Come. And he's on the water like, this is cool. There's Jesus. And he's like, man, these waves are high. And he quit looking at the Lord, and what happened? He sank like a brick. But now, he was still following the Lord, but for a second, he got his eyes off. Hey, look at these questions. Are there any of them you would have to say? Honestly, I would have to say no. I'm not saying this to condemn you. I'm saying this to encourage you. Follow the Lord.
Amen.
This can all change. Your condition isn't permanent. Who are you following this morning? There's voices out there. There's principles out there. There's philosophies. Remember, we have an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Why don't we follow the one, the shepherd who gives us life, and he gives it to us more abundantly. Let's stand this morning, please.